And after the thought and prayer, I could not get away from the 6th chapter of Isaiah. And it seemed to me that there is so much in that chapter from which we might profit, and various aspects of truth are brought before us. And I trust that God will indeed bless us as we consider it together with His help. It was my desire to try to demonstrate in the study of that chapter of Isaiah 6 that we have these various aspects of truth, such as history and doctrine and practice and that which we might term devotional. We read together Isaiah chapter 6 and also a passage of scripture in John chapter 12. And I think that on this tape I might just read the verses in John chapter 12, beginning at verse 23 and on to verse 43. John chapter 12 and verse 23 on to verse 43, just for connection. Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honour. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, "I have both glorified it, and will glorify it again." The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, "An angel spake to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying by what death he should die. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Now these words, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled which he spake, "Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, "He hath blinded their eyes, and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them." These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory, and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now in this 12th chapter of John's Gospel, in the passage that we have just read, we have two outstandingly significant statements of the Lord which are quoted from the prophecy of Isaiah. Shall we read again verses 37 and 38? And note the quotation from Isaiah chapter 53 in verse 1. "But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" And then we notice in verse 39 and 40, where we have the quotation from Isaiah chapter 6, "Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. Now notice verse 41, and this is so very important, I feel. These things said Isaiah, both of these quotations from Isaiah, these things said Isaiah when he saw his glory, and he spake of him. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory, and spake of him. The context, of course, makes it perfectly clear that his glory here refers to Christ. And the Greek word we have is the word doxa, and is one of the characteristic words of John's Gospel. So much then for the commentary of the Holy Spirit concerning these verses. You know, I often feel that if only men could realize that the Bible is its own commentary, as we compare Scripture with Scripture, and as we study and seek to rightly divide the word of truth, how it clears up so much of the difficulty. Difficulties that are created by men themselves, just because they will not give heed to the commentary that is given so often in the book itself. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory, and spake of him. Now if we turn back to Isaiah chapter 6, for the moment, if we turn back to Isaiah chapter 6, and verse 5, these are the words that we read concerning the experience that Isaiah had. Then said I, after Isaiah had this vision as described in these early verses, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of hosts. So John makes it plain that the one that Isaiah saw in this vision that he had was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And John says these things in his ears when he saw his glory, and he spake of him. It might also be a profitable study to compare what we have in Isaiah chapter 6 and that of the well-known and blessed chapter 53 of this prophecy. That chapter 53 which is so well-known, speaking so much concerning the suffering Messiah. In the 6th chapter of Isaiah, we are shown the throne. For said Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Then turning over to Isaiah chapter 53, there's quite a contrast here. If we look at Isaiah chapter 53, and reading verses 4 to 8, Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 to 8, we read these words. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearer is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. Now we remember, of course, that in John chapter 12, we had the quotation from Isaiah chapter 53 as well. Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And that also was declared as being true concerning Christ. These things, both of these quotations, said Isaiah, when he saw his glory, and spake of him. Now, comparing these wonderful truths of Scripture, we do want to ponder the fact that we have in them the glory of government, a throne. For, said Isaiah, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And then in Isaiah 53, we are shown the Lamb. We are shown the Lamb. Surely has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before a shearer is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And Isaiah is speaking concerning the same blessed person. In the one we have the glory of government, and in the other we have the glory of grace. And the wonderful truth of Scripture is this, that this twofold glory belongs to Christ. John said, Isaiah saw his glory and spake of him. Now, in our endeavor to demonstrate from these scriptures the various aspects of truth that we have, as made known to us, particularly in Isaiah chapter 6, we have truth which is historical. The Bible, of course, contains much that comes under the heading of history. And we have also that which had its application in Isaiah's own day. We have truth which was also prophetical and is now history to us. And we have that, of course, which is distinctly of dispensational importance. Then, too, we find in this wonderful chapter of Isaiah, chapter 6, we have here truth which we might describe as being personal. For said Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. It concerned Isaiah himself, and it had an effect upon Isaiah, and it brought him to see himself as he really was. And so he said, I saw the Lord. And it was of personal importance to Isaiah, and I believe as we seek to glean from the Word of God that which is for our blessing, then we shall see that these scriptures also concern us as individuals. And so we have truth which is historical, that which is prophetic, that which is dispensational, and that which is personal. And we need to remember all these various aspects of truth if we're really going to benefit from all scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. That the man of God may be perfected, we need the whole of the Word. First then, let us give our attention to the historical aspect of truth. Let us notice just once again this first verse of Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died. Now here is history. In a particular year, King Uzziah died. And it was in this particular year of the death of King Uzziah that Isaiah had this vision, when he said, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. If we would have the time this afternoon, we might well turn to the second book of Chronicles and chapter 26, and if we read through that chapter, we would read much concerning the reign of this man, King Uzziah. And if we were to read it, we would find that this man indeed had a glorious reign, and blessing upon blessing was his. He did that which was right in the sight of God, and he was blessed in the conquest of other lands, and he had great blessings in the field of agriculture, and truly he was blessed of God. But the thing that we want to notice this afternoon is this, that in the year that King Uzziah died, and that there's a particular emphasis upon this period of time, because we might well ask ourselves the question, why is this time period stressed? Why was it that Isaiah says in the year that King Uzziah died? Well, alas, if we would have read further through that 26th chapter of 2 Chronicles, we would read concerning Uzziah's terrible death. He was cut off from his own people as a leper. And you know, it's sad to realize that the record there of his reign, as we have it in 2 Chronicles 26, we read this, his name spread. fled far abroad, for he was marvelously helped until he was strong. And then we read these sad and solemn words, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the law of his God, and he went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And that is the reason why Uzziah had this terrible death, why he was stricken with leprosy. But you know, it's interesting to contrast what is written concerning him in 2 Chronicles 26. He was cut off from his own people as a leper. And you know, concerning the one spoken of in verse 5 of chapter 6, this same one that we read of, that is called the King, the Lord of Hosts, comparing what we are told in John chapter 12, that these things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him, it makes it perfectly clear that this is the same one spoken about in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 8. He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And we might well compare this leprous king, Uzziah, with the glorious king of this chapter. Verse 5, mine eyes have seen the king, the Lord of hosts. No ordinary king this, not like King Uzziah, the King, the Lord of hosts. Alas for Uzziah, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God, and he went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Isaiah saw the King, the Lord of hosts. And you know, Zechariah, in the prophecy of Zechariah, foretells concerning him that he shall be a priest upon his throne. There can only be one king priest, that one of whom we read in the Epistle of the Hebrews. He is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. There is only one who could ever be both king and priest, and that of course is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and that is the testimony of the Gospel of Matthew, that this one is both king and priest, the great king priest. Uzziah proved this to his cost. Although he was blessed of God in a wonderful way, yet alas for him, he did not realize that he could not transgress against the Lord his God and his commandments. He could not at his will go into the temple and burn incense upon the altar of incense. And you know, the priests came in and they challenged him on this, and at that moment in his mad pride, the leprosy broke out upon his forehead, and he was stricken with leprosy, and he died as a leper, in disgrace, cut off from his people. And in considering this chapter and the truth brought before us, here is the warning for us here, for us all. We have the warning that it is dangerous indeed for our hearts to be lifted up with pride in our own wonderful calling. The first requirement that we have in Ephesians chapter 4 is that we should walk worthy of our calling with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering. Oh, how can we lift up our hearts with pride when we consider what we are and when we consider what the Lord Jesus Christ is and what he has done for us. And that is the attitude of Isaiah in his case, when he had this wonderful vision, woe is me, for I am undone. Now, shall we look now at these verses which are so important in going on. Verses 9 and 10 of Isaiah chapter 6. And he said, that is in answer to Isaiah's question, which we shall look at later, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn again and be healed. Verse 10 would perhaps better read, declare or foretell that the heart of this people will be fat. Here was the message that Isaiah got after he had his vision and after he had had this commission from God. Declare that the heart of this people will be fat. That indeed was all that the prophet could do. You remember the question again that he asked in Isaiah 53 and verse 1, who has believed our report? And the answer evidently is very few. Now these words, as we have already seen, are quoted in John chapter 12, by reason of the deliberate rejection of light by the people. Shall we turn again to John chapter 12 and read these verses yet again? John chapter 12, reading verses 35 and 36. Here are the words. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. Then these things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before him, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And these words are quoted there by reason of the deliberate rejection of light by the people. Now let us mark this well. Let us get this down into our thinking. This prophecy of Isaiah is of the deepest importance in the history of Israel. If we care to look through the scriptures, we would find that it is quoted no less than 7 times. These words are recorded in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. But in particular, there are 4 occasions when it is solemnly quoted at a time of dispensational crisis. The first of these we find in this chapter itself, uttered by Isaiah. And then after that, if we care to study the subsequent records, we would find that the kingdom passes to Babylon. The second time of importance, it is quoted by the Lord Jesus Christ himself in Matthew chapter 13. Shall we turn to that, Matthew chapter 13, and see what we have there. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 14. It is quoted by the Lord himself. And in them, that is in the people, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. These words were quoted by the Lord at a time of dispensational crisis. If we look back to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 14, we find there these words. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 14. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 6, the Lord says to the Pharisees there, and speaking after they had condemned him and his disciples for taking the ears of corn and eating them, he reminds them of what David did. And he says in verse 3, have you not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God, and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them that were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath, and are blameless? And then he says these words, but I say unto you, that in this place is one greater than the temple. One greater than the temple. One greater than the priesthood of men from among men. And then in verse 41 of the same chapter, we read these words. Verse 41 of Isaiah chapter 12. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas.
And behold, a greater than Jonas is here, a greater prophet than Jonas. And then in verse 42 of the same chapter, the queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment of this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And here was the Lord in the days of his flesh rejected in his capacity as prophet, as priest, and as king. And then in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 1, he begins to speak to them in parables. Then the question of the disciples in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And then the answer in verses 11 to 13. Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries, the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. And so on. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And the Lord then quotes this prophecy of Isaiah as recorded in verses 9 and 10 of chapter 6. That is the second important time that this is quoted. And then again, we find that it is quoted in John chapter 12, as we have seen. In this case, it is because of the rejection of the light. Walk while ye have the light, said the Lord, lest darkness come upon you. But they rejected the light, and once again John quotes from these words. And John chapter 12 closes the external testimony of John's gospel to the outside. After that, from chapter 13 onwards, the Lord's ministry is to his own disciples. Once before, when rejection had reached a crisis, we read that Jesus hid himself. If we care to turn to John chapter 8, in this case, John chapter 8 and verses 56 to 59, we have these words. John chapter 8. Your father, Abraham, rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself, and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so he passed by. And so he hid himself from them, because of the rejection of him by these of his day. Then the prophecy is quoted by Paul for the last time, in Acts chapter 28. This chapter of Acts 28, which we emphasize as being so important, and rightly so, and it has always been a problem to me how it is that so many expositors of the scripture miss the obvious and miss the significance of the quotation of these words from Isaiah chapter 6, as recorded here in Acts. Chapter 28. It is quoted here by Paul for the last time, after a whole day's exposition of the Word of God in Rome to the chief of the Jews. We believe not. And then said Paul, Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet, saying, and the words are quoted yet again from verses 25, 26, down to verse 27. Go unto this people and say, Hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and I should, and should be converted, and I should heal them. And then says Paul, Be it known unto you, therefore, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear. Why the therefore, friends? Why the therefore? Here is a question, surely, Why is it that so many students of the Word of God miss the obvious and vital key to its true interpretation here? Be it known unto you, therefore, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear. I could never understand why it is that it is missed by so many as we seek to compare Scripture with Scripture the vital importance of these words in the record of God's dealings with Israel, and quoted so often and at times of crisis. And so, from this point on, the salvation of God was taken from Israel and sent to the Gentiles, and it's been with them amongst the Gentiles to this day. You know, I rejoice that I was brought up under the ministry of the late Pastor William Gilmer. Who thundered forth on this theme until by the grace of God it registered on my mind and heart. I remember once that he gave us a study, a few young people gathered with him in a private home. He gave us a study in dispensational truth, and he gave us the notes, and we have these words at the heading. Dispensational truth, he says, is an aspect of Holy Scripture, the study of which brings enlightenment and spiritual enrichment. It is also a very real safeguard against a great deal of erroneous interpretation. How true that is! Let us remember it, for it is so vital. And let us also be careful in our consideration of these truths, that the Lord hasn't to say of us as he had to say so often in the days of his flesh, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." I think it is so often the case with believers today, as it was in the case of Israel, that it wasn't just blindness on their part, it was willful blindness and willful disobedience. And that, of course, is what Paul emphasizes in Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11, the willful blindness and disobedience of Israel. And oh, alas, it is that God in turn blinded them. Well, after reading all that, we can open the Epistle to the Ephesians with all its amazing riches of grace and glory for us Gentiles. Now then, as we go on in our study, and I hope it isn't getting too long, in Isaiah chapter 6 we have the truth which is personal. For, said Isaiah, coming back to Isaiah chapter 6 now, we have Isaiah giving his experience. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." I saw the Lord. Could it be that this is perhaps the most important aspect of all? Before we can witness, we must see, just as Isaiah had to see. We must have our eyes open to the glory of the Lord, and then, like Isaiah, to our own sinfulness. "Woe is me," said Isaiah, "for I am undone." Surely Isaiah's vision was perfected in the fact of Christ. We have already proved from the Scriptures that Isaiah saw none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. "Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Let us then behold the glory of the Lord. Verses 1 to 3. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Then said Isaiah, down in verse 5, "Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." When Isaiah saw the Lord in this heavenly temple, he saw himself, And the first thing that we must notice is when we see the glory of the Lord, we discover our sin. Alas for Uzziah the king, you remember, he did not see this glory. His heart was lifted up with pride and he flouted God's command. 2 Chronicles 26:16, when Uzziah was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God, and he went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Oh, the foolish man that he was! There can only be one king priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Uzziah sought to enhance his own personal position and prestige in the service of God, and God smote him with leprosy. But what of Isaiah? When he had this vision, the attitude of Isaiah was this, woe is me. And as the Companion Bible makes it clear, and we also have it in the Revised Version, the Revised Standard Version rather, these are the words literally, woe is me, for I am lost. And when we behold the glory of the Lord, we discover indeed that we are lost, we discover our own sin. I would say that in this our own day, we do not need to have anything less said about faith. But if there is one thing that we do need to have a lot said about, we need to have a lot said about the fact of sin today. Sin is a terrible reality today, as it was in the day of Isaiah. And perhaps that is the reason for the success of certain evangelists today, because they seek to preach the Bible doctrine of sin. Do we need a new vision of the Lord, like Isaiah? Before him, you know, the seraphim veil their faces. We cannot speak particularly concerning these beings, the seraphim, but they veil their faces and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Friend, the essence of a true conviction is a concern for what I am, not for what we have or what we have not done. We know the story that the Lord told in Luke's Gospel of the Pharisee and the publican who went up into the temple to pray. And concerning the nature of the prayer, the one that was accepted was the publican. All that he could say was, smiting his breast, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner, the sinner. And then, secondly, when we behold the glory of the Lord, we are nigh unto cleansing. Verse 7 of this chapter. And verse 6 for connection. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin pardoned. When we behold the glory of the Lord, we are nigh unto cleansing. And as Isaiah beheld the glory of the Lord, he made his confession, woe is me, for I am lost. He received his cleansing, and his sin was purged. Doesn't that once again point us away to Isaiah chapter 53? He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The same one that is spoken about there, that died for us, the just one for the unjust to bring us to God. And here surely is grace. Here in this very chapter of Isaiah chapter 6, we have the cross and the work of the Lamb depicting. Because this word that we have in this verse we have before us, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. This is the very word that we have in the Psalm 32 verse 1, the words of David, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And that means atoned for by means of a substitutionary sacrifice. That is the word, that is the Hebrew word kafar, where Moses got the instruction to concerning the ark, that he was to pitch it within and without with pitch. It was the first ever use of this word to cover. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not his sins. I wonder if there is anyone who amongst us has never been to the cross for cleansing. Well, here is grace. Here we have the cross and the work of the Lamb. Here is the way to forgiveness and cleansing. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And Isaiah had this wonderful experience. This hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And then last of all, in this personal aspect of truth, when we behold the glory of the Lord on the throne, we are ready for service. Look what we have in verses 8 and 9. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, after Isaiah had received his cleansing, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then the response of Isaiah, here am I. Send me. Surely the earlier experiences of conviction and cleansing brought Isaiah a quick ear to hear God's call. Who will go? Send me. Who will go? Send me. After Isaiah had his experience of cleansing. And it is only after he had such an experience of the grace of God that he could really answer the question so readily. He heard the voice of the Lord saying, who will go? Whom shall I send and who will go for us? And the response was ready, send me. And Isaiah's was no easy task. If we read through his prophecy and consider verse 9, the message that he got, which we have considered already, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Remember again the words of Isaiah 53, verse 1, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed. And alas for Isaiah, his was a very unpopular message, but he kept on, although the task was difficult, and the success small. Who had believed our report? Very few, evidently, as subsequent scriptures make plain. And so, I do trust that this study, given to the best of my ability, will benefit us in our study of the Word and make its meaning clearer for us and cause us to realize that we have a wonderful place in the outworking of this great plan of the ages as revealed in the Scriptures. Because after the final and closing quotation of these words from Isaiah chapter 6, it is then that we have that revelation of our Lord's glory, which has filled up the Word of God and which concerns us Gentiles. We who were one time far off, we who had our manner of life in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace we are saved. He hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. And then we who are far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens of the holiest of all and of the household of God. And what a position is ours now in that revelation of our Lord's glory. Have we seen something of that glory, of him as head, with the enlightening of the Holy Spirit, having the eyes of our understanding enlightened to know what is the hope of his calling? Have we seen something of the glory of our Lord as head of the church, far above all the heavens? Let us remember these things then and take courage. We have perhaps an unpopular message in some ways. It is not readily received. But let us remember the experience of Isaiah and take courage. And shall we just close in these words that we sometimes sing? Go labor on, 'tis not for naught. Thy earthly loss is heavenly gain. Men heed thee, love thee, praise thee not. The Master praises. What are men? May God just bless his word for his name's sake. Amen.